Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live on Thursday, October 5th, 2023. It's time. We got college football week 5. We have NFL weeks. No, we have college football week 6, NFL week 5. There we go. Can't lie to you guys. Last night, had a few too many drinks with my boss, so I'm definitely hurt today, but we're going to pull it together. Ben, let's recap how we did last week before we get into it.
Yep. Another good week. 3-0 for me in college football. That's 9-1 in the last 3 weeks. 4-2-1 in college football for you. So a good week for you.
Let's go.
2-0 in the NFL for me. That's 5-0 the last two pods, and 2-0 for you in the NFL. So updated totals were 23-25-1 in the college football picks.
Okay.
Considering where we started, that is tremendous.
Dude, we were what? Weren't we like 3-15 at one point?
It was gross. I don't remember exactly. 14-6-1 in the NFL. So we've been rolling in the NFL early, which is kind of flipped for us.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, I don't know. It was weird, though, because I swear I've done better at college this year than NFL, but for whatever reason, like, I just was good at picking the right games to talk about on the podcast that I'd always hit. So I don't know what it is, Ben, but we got the vibes going, and I honestly feel the best about any slate I have felt all season on NFL and college football this week. So let's get into it. Usually, guys, we start things out in the noon hour, but we got a big game to talk about. Me and Ben are head-to-head against each other in this game. We have the Texas A&M Aggies hosting Alabama. Spread is down to 1.5 in this game. I gave out to my subscribers yesterday, Texas A&M at +2.5, and I'm on the over 46 in this game. I'm going to go first since Ben's a Bama guy, and I want him give him a chance to rebuttal me. But let's get into it here, Ben. Look, I can't lie, Ben. I'm not going to say necessarily that y'all like worried me in that game against Mississippi State, but I didn't exactly see what I wanted to see out of you guys against Mississippi State last week. I think that the offense is it's a bad matchup for them. Texas A&M defense ranks top 10 in havoc in all of college football, and they're one of the best run-stopping defenses in all of college football. The way you beat them is by airing it out on them, and I'm just not 100% sure, man, if Milroe can sit back here and air them out. Bama's 111th in havoc allowed, too, so they're letting teams get to Jalen Milroe and put him under pressure. According to a source that I can't give away, they told me and Ben earlier today that they think that Jalen Milroe might have pulled his hamstring. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm not necessarily buying it. Yeah, tweaked his hamstring. I don't necessarily buy into that, though, if I'm being honest with you, Ben. I've heard shit like that all the time, and it wasn't even remotely true. There's like the source who told me that Royce Lewis is playing less than 100% in the Twins game series. I mean, the guy won them the series, basically. So, but anyway, Texas A&M's defense has proven to be a bad matchup for running QBs as well. Look what they did against KJ Jefferson and Robbie Ashford back-to-back weeks. They shut down those guys' legs. I think they're going to come in here pretty prepped up the spot. This is a good matchup though for Texas A&M, and Nick Saban is 7-13 ATS, and or that's good for 35% as a favorite of a touchdown or less, which would be this spot. Also, too, like Anaya Smith came out saying that this is like he didn't call out Alabama, but he said that he's taking this game personally because he wasn't able to play last year. And Texas A&M, as bad as
His
the coaches,
brother played for Alabama is the
yeah, his
main
brother
reason.
played for Bama
And then
too.
transferred to Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. And also, too, like Jimbo Fisher, as bad as a job as he's done at Texas A&M, he always gets the troops up for this game. This game is always a close game, no matter what. And I think the home crowd, the 12 fans, are going to come through big time in this game. I'm not going to lie, Ben. Texas A&M is my strongest play of the week. And I see this game having points, though. Alabama's going to have to throw the ball to get points up there. I don't like Jalen Milroe trying to throw the ball against his defense. I think he throws a pick six and it has another one. I also think, too, they're going to get some sacks and get short fields. I think Texas A&M comes out and wins this game pretty big. I have them winning this game 33-14. So give me the over and total of points and give me Texas A&M.
What was the line you got it at? Because it's moved at
Two
the
and a
moment.
half on Texas A&M. And I mean, I would take Texas A&M money line 1.5, any number you guys have, because they're winning this game outright. And I like the over at 46. It's just ridiculously too low when you have this good of offenses.
I was just putting both down. I want to make sure I had the same number. So, yeah, I've there's one part that I agreed with you, and then I'm not gonna lie, I'm the opposite.
Okay.
We're thinking two different ways on this game. I mean, obviously, you had a stat to back it up, so it's kind of hard to argue. But the defensive line for Texas Tech is insane. Between Walter Nolan and what's the other guy's name? It's like Shamar something, or
Yeah, I can't think of his name
they were
either.
like the number one and number two prospects at a high school,
Yeah.
or at least on the defensive line. A&F got both of them. Walter Nolan is another guy I was thinking of, and I can't think of the other guy, but yeah, I mean they're sophomores and juniors now. They're wreaking havoc. They're going to wreak havoc in just about every game they play. You know what? With the Milroe news, obviously we have to play like it is true because the
Yeah.
line is dropping. The line's not dropping from 6 all the way down to 1, and we'll see where it finishes before game time. Just because money is coming on A&M, it's obvious that news has come out.
Yeah.
People are reacting to something.
I don't know
I
necessarily
would.
though, Ben. I think it is a sharp money move. I don't think it's an injury move. I think it's just the sharp money play. It looks like the sharps are going to be on LSU or on A&M, and the public's going to be on Alabama. But I mean, look, guys, don't let sharp money moves scare you off in college football. I've been betting against a ton of sharp money moves. Like last week, I was telling Ben that I didn't go for a max play on that Bama game over because sharp money took the total all the way down from 45 or all the way down from 49-45. That game was over at halftime.
Yeah, I disagree. The other part that I disagree on, I don't think there's going to be many points in this game.
Okay.
I don't think either team has a better offense than their defense. Texas A&M's strength so far has been against the run. They're very hard to run against. Well, Bama is very hard to run against as well. Bama's got a good secondary to where on the flip side of that, they've struggled to get to the quarterback unless they are blitzing. They're blitzing at a higher rate now than games 1 and 2. So they're getting to the quarterback a little bit more. Dallas Turner is second in Division I football in quarterback pressures this year so far. So he's starting to step up his game post Texas. I have a lot of confidence in the secondary at Bama. Terrion Arnold is a two-time
Okay.
starter, he's a junior. Kool-Aid McKinstry is arguably the best cornerback in college football. Caleb Downs is currently leading the team in solo tackles and
Beast.
team tackles as a true freshman in college football. Jalen Key is an experienced guy from UAB. I think the Bama secondary is good, and I think it's harder to throw all over them. I don't see a lot of points in this game, but that's just me. I do see a world where A&M wins. I got to see how Milroe plays. I was going to be honest with everyone. One of my plays I was going to give out was Bama money line. But post whatever rumor we have about Milroe, I'm not going to give that play out. If he can't move as much, he is a totally different quarterback. And when I mean different, I mean worse.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm being honest with you, Ben, like I definitely think this game's gonna get over the total. Like I think the total is just way too low for college football today. But at the same time, like I don't think it's necessarily gonna be a crazy high scoring game. I mean, for them to get over this, even 27-20 is not a crazy high scoring game. It's just enough points to get us over the total. You know, like for in college football, with like I'm not saying these teams are bad, but at the end of the day in college football, they're gonna miss tackles. These are kids playing football. Like to get over
Open
these numbers
space is
is
a disaster in college.
Yeah, exactly. To get over these low numbers is just way too easy in college football, in my opinion. They're trying to get people to take the under, and this game is going to go way over. Let's keep things moving though, Ben. I'm glad you picked Bama here. This will be interesting. Ben, should we put a little dinner bet on this game between me and you? Loser buys the winner dinner.
I don't even know if I have my quarterback in this game yet.
Fair, fair enough, fair enough. Okay. Trying to bait him into a free meal right there because Tech Stadium's cashing. I'm just kidding. But anyway, though,
Are we talking about other big games or?
yeah. What's do you have a play for? Well, do you have a play in any of the other big games? Because I do have a play for the big game for almost all the big games.
I don't. My college football card's only two plays deep this
Okay.
week. It's very, very small.
You want to give us your next play and then I'll talk about the Red River Shootout.
Yeah. I'm going to go at noon. I'm going to go Rutgers at Wisconsin. I'm going to go under 44 in this game. Two really strong defenses in this game. Both teams like to run the football. Wisconsin's big weakness so far on defense has been against the pass. But guess what? That matches up with what Rutgers can't do offensively. They're in the hundreds in their passing categories this year. Rutgers, if you turn on any of their games, any
Yeah.
YouTube games, if you haven't watched them play yet, time possession is a key factor to them in ball games. They like to run the football. Wisconsin still does the same thing. I don't think Tanner Mordecai is anywhere close to as good as he was at SMU, or
Agreed.
maybe people thought he was going to be. You don't just snap your fingers and transfer to a school from SMU to Wisconsin and start dominating. It's no offense to the AAC. It is a good conference. It's not the Big Ten. And there's a new coach in there, new system. And I was a fool. Well, I wasn't a total fool because I didn't have them winning their side of the Big Ten, but a lot of people got fooled into thinking that this guy was going to be their savior, and he's
Yeah.
not to me. So I'm going to go under 44. I think Rutgers is live in this game to keep this close into the fourth quarter. And I'm going to take the under. I'm going to lean on these defenses and play Wisconsin type of football, Big Ten football coming at you.
Okay, what was the play again in that game?
It was
The under.
Rutgers and Wisconsin under 44.
I do like that play. That is not a bad look at all right there, Ben. For me, I'm gonna go to the noon hour. I'm gonna go to the second biggest game of the day. This is could be the biggest game of the day, depending on which way you look. I'm taking Oklahoma plus 6.5. This line actually dropped like a couple hours ago to 5.5, believe it or not. But this is a massive revenge game. First of all, this game is played at a neutral site, but it's a massive revenge game. Oklahoma got embarrassed. They lost this game 55-0 last year. Texas can definitely give up some big plays in the air if you look at the way their offense is graded out. And I think Oklahoma's got to come in here and give them their best shot. Venables has coached up a good defense in this spot. Like he's done a good job with this team. We even said we thought Oklahoma would be a lot better this year, and they look like the team we thought they'd be. Dylan Gabriel is a dual threat quarterback. I think he can extend plays and make the big plays happen down the field. Also, too, I have a trend. Since 2016, teams that are playing with revenge at a neutral site, the underdog in these games is 4-25 against the spread, or 40-25 against the spread. Sorry, not 4-25, 40-25 against the spread. I'm gonna rock with the with Boomer Sooner, baby. I think Oklahoma's got enough in the passing game to get this game done. And also, too, I will say I think the one thing that worries me about Oklahoma is they don't really have much of a run game. It's mostly just the Gabriel running the ball with his legs. But
Yeah,
I
they
still
haven't run the
think.
ball well yet.
Exactly, but I still think that's more of like them probably not being able to win this game rather than them, you know, being able to keep it inside the number. I think they're never going to be out of it, and this game's going to come down to a final possession to win it.
I don't have a play in this game. I leaned Texas,
Okay.
but the reason why I didn't get to the window, like I like Dylan Gabriel. I thought he was a huge transfer
Same.
pickup when Oklahoma got him. I thought he was going to do big things last year for a new coach, but he's playing much better this year to start. Texas has an advantage in the trenches in this game. Their defensive line has really been able to get after the quarterback in their games this year. And Gabriel, who is mobile, he's going to have to get outside the pocket on this team because I think if he just sits there too long, I think they'll squash him like a bug. But You know what? I don't have a play. I'm just going to say lean Texas, but I don't have a play on this game. I also lean the over for whatever that's worth. I think Oklahoma stays in this game. But I in my head, I just thought Texas pulled away late. That's not something I can trust just yet. So I'm going to stay away from this game.
Yeah, I feel like this is like Texas. I feel like this is Texas' one big test, and this is the hardest game, too, for Oklahoma. So we will find out a lot about both these teams. But yeah. I think 6.5 in a revenge game, like – I know you remember, Ben, a couple years ago, one of our principals used to be always taking the underdog in this game because, like, when Texas or when Oklahoma was good and Texas sucked, this game would always come down to, like, a field goal at the end. So I feel like it's going to be the opposite here. Oklahoma now is a little bit behind Texas, and I just think both teams are going to get up and come to play their best game on Saturday. I got another big
just
one.
Texted me. My roommate just texted me, who's downstairs. He went to Texas. He said, "Believe it, we're elite."
Love that. Ben, you want to give the people your second play?
Yeah, it's going to be in the 3 o'clock window. And okay. I think you and I finally agree on something here. Give me UCLA -3. Coming
Love
off
it.
A real tough performance against Utah. But let's be honest, like, Utah's defense suffocates just about
At
everyone.
home, too? Like,
At home, you and
yeah.
I have talked about this a million times about Pac-12 teams going on the road. Washington State, on the other side of that, was very, very fortunate. Not fortunate. The schedules, I mean, they are what they are, but they had Wisconsin and Oregon State at home. I think they go 0-2 if they're in Madison and in Corvallis in those games. You're finally going on the road in a conference game. First time for Cam Ward this season. Give me UCLA. I think UCLA is finally going to have more space to operate in than they did against Utah. This is not the same defense that Wazoo's pulling out, and like I said, these Pac-12 schools, home versus road splits, they're just two different teams sometimes. And I think UCLA gets this win. Give me -3.
Yeah, Ben, we were all over this part of it last week when that we took the with last week when that we had what's their favorite last week when we I was on Oregon State, you know, like we said, Utah was a little fraudulent, we didn't know what they could do on the road. It's the exact same thing here, man. I'm gonna put me down for this one as well. Give me the -3. The only thing I'm gonna add is I actually have UCLA as a top 10 defense in all of college football. So
they just
and they
haven't
have a top 10.
Played a ton of competition yet, but top 10's top 10.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you saw Utah could do nothing against them defensively. I think they can frustrate Cam Ward here in this game. So I'm gonna take this one as well.
If you have 3.5 on your book, buy it to 3. Don't be stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Buy the hook. Another game that dropped, and I feel bad that I'm giving out all these that dropped, but take this one still because they're winning this game outright. Give me the Missouri Tigers +6.5. Brady Cook and Luther Burden. Remember those names because these guys are going to be on the map after this game. Me and Ben were on top of the Missouri hype train before the season started. We even said, even though we didn't really talk about them on the SEC podcast because the podcast was like an hour and a half long, we were like, look, this team's going to be damn good. Since I have a couple trends here for you guys. Since 2018, when two ranked opponents play each other, the home team is 60% against the spread. When the home team is ranked better, so when the home team is or the other team is ranked better than the home team is 64.4% against the spread. And then when the spread is within single digits, they're 72.27 or 72.7% against the spread. So all those things right there tell me to bet against on Missouri. I was telling Ben, this to me feels like the letdown dream crusher spot in sports. The dream crusher spot is where you had hopes and dreams of doing something like making the playoffs or winning a championship, and you now can't do that. LSU suffered their second loss in a shootout, heartbreaking loss against Ole Miss. This is the dream crusher spot. Missouri's defense is stout, too. They're only giving up 2.9 yards per carry. LSU, I really think this team's just packed it in, and their pass defense is absolutely horrible. Brady Cook and Luther Burden III are going to have a massive game. I think that Missouri names the score in this game. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. I like the over in this game, but give me the Tigers, man.
Yeah, I got a stat to back you up. The LSU offense is sixth in the country in total offense right now. The defense is 114th.
Dude, that's awful. There's 131 teams in all of college football.
They
so
also
think about that.
LSU also just hired a defensive lineman consultant or analyst to help out midseason. If you want to know how bad it's been, their defensive lineman prospect, who was once graded as a first round pick, is now being told by some NFL scouts he might want to continue being at LSU for another year.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Yeah, LSU
same guy that was suspended against FSU, by the way.
Yeah, Mason Smith. Yeah.
He's still going to go pro. I mean, he'll be fine. But there are some apparently scouts that, I know someone that works in this business, and they have not gotten great grades after the first 4 or 5 games in college football.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And yeah, we've been on top of this, Ben. Like, remember when we were preaching that the last week or 2 weeks ago was your last chance to get a bargain on LSU totals when they went way over against Mississippi State and Arkansas? Like, this is your last chance
wrong.
To fade a terrible
I have
defense.
This team. I have their quarterback winning the Heisman and this team making the national championship.
I mean, but were you wrong about their quarter? I mean, their quarterback can't win the Heisman because they've lost too many games, but he looks amazing.
Well.
Like, you,
well.
Like, you've not been off at all. Like, honestly, the guy looks unbelievable out there. I mean, he put up like 55 points last week and still lost. Like, it's not really his fault. Anyway, though, last play here. I'll go quick before we go to NFL. Give me the over at 47.5 in Georgia versus Kentucky. I know everybody looks at the way these two teams play and they want to take the under. I'm going to say not so fast. I think Carson Beck actually found his confidence in this last game with him being able to throw the football. It looks like he figured out that Brock Bowers is an unguardable freak of nature and just started peppering him with targets. That's something I want to see out of a Georgia offense, that they're using their best weapon correctly. Kentucky's secondary is really bad, and we saw Graham Mertz throw it on them a lot in the second half. I think that Carson Beck will throw it on them easily, and I lean pretty heavily towards Kentucky covering the number, but the way I look at it is if the total is this low, I mean, Kentucky's not going to come in here and lose this game 14-0. You know what I mean? They're going to have to do – like, they're going to have to put some points up. I would rather just take the over here because, I mean, I think that Kentucky's not going to score without – cover without scoring 2 touchdowns. Kentucky scores 2 touchdowns and Georgia still wins the game. That's the over right there in and of itself. Give me the over.
I don't have a play on this game. I would lean Georgia. I think this has the markings of Tennessee last year. I just think that, listen, Carson Beck's first road start in one of the toughest environments in college football. He now gets to return home, a little bit of a deep breath, crowds behind him now. This could be a massacre to me. If Devin Leary can't throw the football, talk about another disappointing transfer, and the team's 5-0, and he's been extremely disappointing.
Yeah, this game has like 38-17 written all over it, in my opinion.
The running back's not running for 200 yards against Georgia.
Yeah, I could even see 38-10, which is still the over.
Better figure out a way to move the ball with Leary through the air, because it's not happening with 200 yards on the ground.
Exactly. I'm 100% with you. Shit, it was 280, so almost 300. What a performance. But yeah, let's move over to the NFL now. I got two plays just for the sake of time in NFL. Ben's got three. Ben, go ahead and lead us off for the NFL.
I'm going to start in London. I think the Bills have figured stuff out. I really do. Bills -5.5. I think they figured things out. Offensively, they're just rolling right now. Cook's getting involved in pass catching, and they're finally running the football in Buffalo, and it's not from Josh Allen. He's back to playing at that elite level that we're accustomed to seeing. I mean, Diggs is just insane right now. Gabe Davis is off to a good start this season, and the double tight end action is just so hard to guard between Kincaid and Knox. I think the Bills are rolling right now.
Ben, I swear I'm not just doing this because you said it. I'm actually on the other side here in the game. I like the Jags plus the 5.5. I did lose last time I went head-to-head against Ben, so take that for what it's worth. Anyway, I do know all the trends. All the trends favor Ben here. The favorites hit in London. The team's scoring less than 20 points per game hit. So the Jags haven't had Cam Robinson. He's been suspended for PEDs for the first 4 games. He's going to be back in the lineup in this game. I think that's a huge boost as he's one of the best in the NFL. But on top of that, I like the fact that the Jags didn't have to travel. Doug Peterson's 30-23 against the spread as an underdog. Also, too, Josh Allen, when he plays on 7 days rest, he's 31-16-3 against the spread. I know, obviously, this is still 7 days away, but he's 7-8-1 ATS on short rest and 6-11-1 on extended rest ATS. I think this early start time could throw Josh Allen off a little bit since it's a really early game on a Sunday. And the fact the Jags don't have to travel here and the Jags defense has been pretty good. I don't know what it is with this Bills team, man, but it feels like they just had a huge emotional win beating a division rival. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game.
I just don't trust the Jags offense just yet. Doug Peterson has got to take the playbook back and call plays.
I agree. I also don't really think, like, I think the way that game was going against Atlanta, they were like, let's just run the ball and get out of here healthy.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Atlanta's
we'll figure it out
Atlanta's
next
offense
week.
Couldn't.
Dude, I mean, yeah.
Couldn't move the ball against a high school team.
Yeah, dude. I don't even get me started on it. I'm sure you saw my tweets today, Ben. I was going off about the Falcons today on Twitter. Anyway, let's talk about another game. I want to give this one out here real quick. I'm gonna go with the Steelers plus four. I sent the information to Ben on this game. This is like game of the year type vibes for all the trends I have. Look, I know that both teams' injury reports are pretty long. The Steelers have a bunch of offensive linemen on the injury report. I assume that almost all of them will play in this game. Over the last 20 years, the underdog when the Ravens play the Steelers is 28, 12, and 3 against the spread. In the regular season, when the line is 3 or more, the dog is 21, 3, and 3 ATS since 2005. You change it to 2015, the dog is 15, 1, and 1 against the spread and has 11 straight covers. Mike Tomlin, as a dog, is in play here as well. And also, too, when I look at this, teams who lost by 20 the week before and they're a dog again the next week, 77, 25, and 1 against the spread, good for over 60%.
I almost feel like stats don't matter in this rivalry just because nothing goes according to plan in
Yeah.
this division. But I don't know. Pickett is not playing well at all this season. I think a lot of that blame is getting put on Matt Canada. I think it's more on Canada than Pickett, but I don't think Pickett's been that good, to be honest with you, at all.
I agree.
Again, I think I leaned the other way in this case, but there's no pick for me. I'm gonna go next. I'm going to another favorite. I'm going to go the Eagles. I know the Eagles have not looked like last year's Eagles just yet. They are undefeated still. I just think this is a really bad matchup for the Rams.
Okay.
The Rams rank almost dead last in the league in defensive line stacks getting to the quarterback. Eagles have the best offensive line. It other than Aaron Donald, that guy is still unbelievable at football. But yeah, I like this matchup for the Eagles. I think it's down to four. So I'm going to put four. I haven't taken it just yet. I was about to take it. So I'm going to take four because that's what I see it on. So Eagles minus four is going to be my play. Listen, I don't know if this is the official game the Eagles get going, but I think they're going to be able to run the ball all over the Rams. And when you run the ball really well, it opens things up for Jalen Hurts, who's, by the way, throwing a better deep ball this year so far. So AJ Brown's been able to slip behind the defense a couple times, and I like the Eagles.
I will
Are you
say
on the Rams?
I did take the Rams in this game, actually, Ben, but so you put me down for an official on it. I wasn't going to give this one out of here, but I like Sean McDay as an underdog. Actually, Sean McVay's
Did you get
19.
it at 5.5, or what'd you get it at?
No, I took 4.5.
Four and a half.
Sean McVay is an underdog's 19, 13, and 2 against the spread. He's covered four straight as an underdog as well. I know the Rams are undefeated this season against the spread, which would typically be a stay away thing, but when I look at the Rams in this matchup, I actually think that this Eagles team, like, dude, I hate the fact I keep fading the Eagles, but like my numbers tell me I have to do it. Like, I feel like that they're just not really like playing that clean of games in these matchups that they've been playing. And especially last week after playing the overtime game against the Commanders and just watching how much success Washington had in the air, Sean McVay is one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL. I feel like he's going to be able to scheme his wide receivers open, and Cooper Kupp's going to be back in this game.
He
That's why
will
the
be
line
back.
moved. Yeah. Last one here for me, real quick. Give me the Titans minus one against Indianapolis. Last week, I talked about how Indianapolis is one of the luckiest teams in the league. They came back on a Rams team who had kind of stopped playing. Well, now Kwity Paye and DeForest Buckner are probably going to be out here. You still have cluster injuries in your offensive line. The Titans are one of the best teams in the NFL versus the run. Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss ain't doing shit on the ground this game. They're bad
Is
against the
JT playing?
pass. Jonathan Taylor is supposed to play in this game. But I don't necessarily buy into the Anthony Richardson throwing the football. He's going to have to prove to me that he can gash you through the air. Also, too, like Vrabel's a really good coach, and really good coaches play well against rookie quarterbacks. There's not necessarily like any data really of Vrabel against rookie quarterbacks, but I think that's an advantage. And Vrabel owns this division. He's 19 and 11 against the spread versus the division. I'll take a minus one basically to win this game outright. I think this Colts team's pretty overrated and got fortunate to have a couple early wins this season.
Yeah, the only time I would ever bet the Titans is as a home underdog. I can't lay points with that team, but it's minus one. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Last pick for me. There's no eye test game of the week for me.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take the Chiefs and Vikings over 52 and a half. This is just, I mean, Kirk Cousins is gonna have to be old school Kirk Cousins, and they're gonna throw the football a lot in this game. And I was just looking at the stats, the difference between these two teams. And it's I mean, the defenses aren't pretty, let me tell you. The Vikings, their defense in passing yards is 31st in the NFL. They're also 30th in yards per play on defense. The Chiefs are, well, we know how good the Chiefs' offense is. Defensively, though, Chiefs are horrible in the red zone. If the Vikings can get to the red zone, the Chiefs are currently 31st in red zone efficiency defensively. They are getting to the quarterback, so I'm going to need Kirk Cousins to have some time to throw. But other than that, passing yards, 18th in the league. First downs given up, 19th in the league. They're not creating turnovers very well. And I think this is going to be a big game from Justin Jefferson, just like every single week.
Like, it's definitely gonna be an interesting game. It's probably the most watched game once again because the whole Taylor Swift thing. Anyway, though, Ben, can you recap the picks and then we'll get on out of here?
I sure can. College football, Rutgers and Wisconsin under 44, UCLA minus 3. Those are both for me. Thomas, let me know if I have her number wrong. A&M plus 2.5. A&M, Bama over 46. Oklahoma plus 6.5. UCLA minus 3. Missouri plus 6.5. And then Kentucky and Georgia over 47.5. And the NFL from myself, Bills minus 5.5, Eagles minus 4, Chiefs and Vikings over 52.5, Thomas, Titans minus 1, Jags plus 5.5, Steelers plus 4, and Rams plus 4.5.
Yep, you got them all right.
Good, I kind of like the Falcons, Texans over, but I did not play it.
No, I definitely can't blame you at all. That, that one definitely does look spicy. Yeah, exactly. But home Desmond Ridder, we know, has been a lot better. Good news is, guys, me and Ben are head to head on two games, so that means worst case that we're each gonna win, that I mean that at least one of us,
and we're the same on UCLA.
Yeah, and we're the same on UCLA, so at least one of us is going to win at least one pick for the pod this week. No, I'm just kidding. Me and Ben been on fire. Ben, let's keep it going. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, sir. All time.
Hey, Giga Maggies, let's go A&M, baby.
You're
we'll talk to everyone soon.